Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varidhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bo. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. On this auspicious occasion of the appearance, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's a great joy for us to be here with you. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was innovative in using the technology of his day for introducing the message of Bhagavad Gita. He introduced it all over India and inspired his disciple, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, to take it all over the world. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada brought the Bhagavad Gita to the West in an edition that he called the Bhagavad Gita as it is. There had been 700 translations of Bhagavad Gita in English before that one. And not one person had ever become a devotee of Krishna. But that is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Krishna said, become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your obeisances to me. In this way you will come to me, I promise. This is the essential message of the Gita. Yet everyone was missing it before Srila Prabhupada. So I was just a very insignificant disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but one of those fortunate who were touched by his book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And from reading that book, I took shelter of Srila Prabhupada. On my 19th birthday, he accepted me as his disciple in 1975. And since then, I've had the opportunity to visit India, here at the Holy Dham and here in Bombay, this wonderful, amazing city, 15 times. So my two young companions here are visiting India for the first time. They're still trying to understand what's going on because we just arrived. So Madhu Mangal Prabhu is a graduate in psychology, and Bhakti Morgan Prabhu has studied, is a professionally trained chef. So they asked me since we have just a limited time in India with our other duties, which temple is the best temple? So I said, Radha Gopinath Mandir. So, is that right? So we're seeing the best of India here in Radha Gopinath Mandir. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was innovative in presenting Krishna consciousness. The technology of his day included the printing press, and he also made diorama displays. He was trying to show that the spirit of the six Goswamis, the great disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was yukta vairagya, that is, rather than renouncing things, using them in the service of Krishna. Indeed, for many people, the whole world beyond India, for many sadhus, the whole world is useless. Sannyasi is not supposed to cross the ocean, is not supposed to leave the holy dham. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta first ordered Srila Prabhupada, you take this message, you're an educated young man, take this message of Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. And he took that as his life and soul, that order that he first received when he first met his guru. Yeah. So in that spirit, we are going to present to you today, with your permission, an innovative look at Bhagavad Gita. This is something that will be a little different if you have studied Bhagavad Gita. Because in the West, to be very frank, it's very difficult to interest somebody in Bhagavad Gita. It's very difficult to communicate the essential and beautiful message of the Gita to people who are very wrapped up in material culture. And so to do that, we cannot be too traditional. We have to be a little innovative. We get our substance from tradition. And we get our relevance from innovation. Is that all right? So Srila Prabhupada presented this elaborate Bhagavad Gita as it is, with the purports explaining the philosophy in the appropriate way for people to understand. He also translated the Bhagavad Gita into Bengali poetry. He put the whole Gita into rhyming poetry and called that little book Gitar Gan. And that book is very, very popular in Bengal. Indeed, like the Ramayana of Tulsidas. It's not the original, but it's a brief poeticized version, and that is the one that was very popular throughout India. So in the West, there's a form of poetry called rap, which is very low-class poetry. But being the West, it has become very popular. One play called Hamilton was entirely presented in this rap poetry, which is poetry with rhythm and beat. And it became the most popular play in America. It's on Broadway, you can't even get tickets for it. So I was thinking, why not put Bhagavad Gita in rap? Maybe this would appeal to people. So it is a decidedly Western take on the Bhagavad Gita. It has some a little coarse language. It has some expressions that you may not be familiar with. It's presented in a way to try to capture the mind of the Westerners. And when I talked to my friends here, they thought you might be interested to see it. Would you like to see? Is it have your permission? What attracts some crazy Americans to Bhagavad Gita? All right, well, we'll present it for you now. Of course, it is entirely plagiarized from the Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Trying to get the essential message is our goal. So one thing in the Gita, how many here have read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Many of you? Okay, very good. So we see in the Gita how Arjuna goes through many transformations. Krishna is the main speaker, but it is Arjuna who's being affected. And indeed, Arjuna is he whom we learn from in our own lives. Arjuna begins the Bhagavad Gita how? How is he feeling at the very beginning? Not quite, before that. He's feeling very what? Senayor Ubayor Madhye. He's telling Krishna, take my chariot between the armies. You have to be pretty confident to tell God where to go, right? So he's very confidently saying, Krishna, drive my chariot between the armies. And then when he sees his loved ones on the opposite side of the battle lines, he becomes very morose and confused, and he wants to quit. And then he surrenders to Krishna. He says, all right, Krishna, I don't know what to do. You please tell me. Shishyastaham sadi mam tvam prapanam. Now I am your disciple, a soul surrendered to you. Please instruct me. Then the Gita begins. Krishna gives his instructions. So Arjuna is not immediately convinced. He is puzzled. First, he's asking Krishna, you're telling me I should be detached, and yet you're telling me to fight this ghastly war. Please stop contradicting yourself. And then he says, he's very skeptical. Krishna says, I've been teaching the science of yoga since the beginning of the universe to the sun god Vivasvan. And Arjuna says, wait a minute, he's much older than you. How could you have instructed him? Skeptical. See? Very human. Very real responses. And gradually, through the course of the next few chapters, Arjuna becomes convinced. Finally, in chapter 10, he's convinced. It takes Krishna 10 chapters to convince him. Then he is very grateful for Krishna. And he says, how should I meditate on you? So the 10th chapter is all about that. How to think of Krishna. And then maybe Arjuna gets a little overconfident. Or maybe still a little skeptical. It's not clear. But he says, well, Krishna, do you think I could see your universal form? And Krishna says, yes, I'll show you. He doesn't say you might not like it. So then Arjuna sees first this majestic vision. Then he's frightened. Then he's terrified. Then he's contrite. Oh my God, I didn't know who you were. I treated you in such a casual way. Please forgive me. But Krishna doesn't like that mood in Arjuna. So he again shows his form and now you can see me as I am. And again, Arjuna feels like this is my friend because that is Krishna's favorite relationship with him. So then in the last chapters, Arjuna is inquiring, well, please help me understand this. Please help me understand that. It is full of philosophy. Arjuna's experience is not sentimental. It's not just religious. It's very soundly based in science. And the last 6 chapters of Gita are all about that. The modes of nature. Nature, the enjoyer and consciousness. The divine and demoniac natures. See, finally, in the end, Arjuna learns, how should I be renounced? And Krishna explains that real renunciation is not to leave everything. It's to do everything for me. So whatever our particular role in life is, to do it for Krishna is the perfection. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Having heard all that, how is Arjuna feeling at the end of Bhagavad Gita? How is he feeling at the beginning? Confident. How is he feeling at the end? So what has changed? Now he's confident that he can do his service for Krishna. That's all. He's still going to fight. So he's going to fight for Krishna. So in this recitation this afternoon, Marumangal Prabhu will read Krishna's part, will read Arjuna's part. Since he's a psychologist, he'll try to express all these weird emotions. And Morgan Prabhu will read Sanjaya, the narrator, and I will read Krishna's part. So if you like, please don't look at us, look at the screen. And if you like to, I forgot, I need a madanga player. Do we have a madanga player? Where is that Prabhu who is playing so nicely? Anyone? Is there a madanga player in the house? He's coming, okay. So, yes. So while we're doing this, you can read along. You're welcome to rap along with us if you like. Just read off the screen. You can also clap, or you can just listen. We're going to cover it in 30 minutes. Now, imagine if Krishna were to come today in 2019. How would he present Bhagavad Gita? This is our attempt to answer that question. If Krishna were to present it today. All right. So, Prabhu, you can play for half an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. At least. Okay, good. Okay. So, just a steady beat. Let's see. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
So, a little bit faster. Yeah, like that. Okay. Very good. So, in the wrath of God, not the wrath. Wrath means anger. But God's a cool guy. He's not an angry guy. In the wrath of God, we have these three sections. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. In the karma section, we're covering spirit, duty, detachment, and the three modes of nature. In the Jnana section, we'll cover yoga, gurus, Krishna, and the cosmic form. And in the bhakti section, we'll end with Brahman, fiends, bhaktas, and bhakti. Now, the Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses in classical Sanskrit. The Wrath of God has just 220 chosen verses in vernacular, common English. Sorry, we can't do it in Hindi. Gita has 18 chapters. The Wrath of God has 12 topics. The Gita is a conversation. It goes in sequence. The Wrath of God is a thematic or sandarbha. We take verses from various places and center them around certain topics. Louder? Okay. Krishna's divinity is shown in chapter 4 in the original. In the Gita, Wrath of God, it's in chapter 8. We'll do each of them in about 30 minutes. And, of course, you ask, is this really rap? Well, it's rap in the informal sense from my generation, when rap meant a long topical discussion. So again, Arjuna, Sanjaya's words will appear in orange, Arjuna's in yellow, and Krishna's in white or black. So each topic will begin with a relevant verse from the Gita, and your part is to chant the verse along with us when it appears on the screen, okay? Just chant along. One for each topic. Okay, are you ready to go? Okay.
Haribo.
So everyone, keep going. You're doing great. So I'd like everyone to read the first verse in Bhagavad Gita is spoken by whom? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra Uvacha. So everybody help me by reading Dhritarashtra's verse when it comes up. All right? First verse.
Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre Kamavita Yuyutsavaha Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya.
Everyone, my brother's sons and my sons took their battle thirsty moods to Kurukshetra's sacred plain. Sanjaya, what's the news?
My master, your five nephews, suffered a decade of abuse, and when his sons came hurting them, they finally broke the truce. Although your blameless nephews were outnumbered by your sons, your mighty Arjuna was fighter number one.
Hey Krishna, drive our chariot.
Arjuna told his friend,
where we can see the enemies before we kick their ends.
So then before the deadly war, Sri Krishna shook the reins, and soon Arjuna's scene was between the two campaigns. Arjuna's wise transcendental friend, and now his charioteer said,
look Arjuna, check the flock of frenzied fighters here.
Arjuna spied on both sides all his family, friends, and guides, supplied and plied for fratricide to triumph or to die. He gawked and shocked in family stock and friends in battle gear. He chain felt weird and bent the ear of his dear charioteer.
To see my folks provoked enough to fight until they die makes all my limbs start shaking as my mouth is breaking dry. My mind is taking flight and I am right behind as well. What right can come from such a fight? It's frightening as hell. Now please explain what I will gain by winning this domain when those whose veins contain my blood are slain on this terrain. Some lesser stressed out freak might finish off his family, but why should we with wisdom wreck our world class dynasty? O Krishna, I have listened to much wisdom and know well. If I bust up my dynasty, I'll tumble straight to hell. No, let my wicked cousins come and crush me to the ground. Much better that than living fat if they are not around.
Why are you copping out, Arjuna? What's that going to do besides make you look gutless and bring karma down on you? It's too bizarre to come this far and then to fall apart. Arjuna, stand and fight right now and let the battle start.
I'd rather be a beggar than the killer of my clan. Their boss is vain, but if they're slain, their blood will stain my hands. I'm too confused to choose, should I confront them or give in? As dumb as they may be, how can I come to kill these men? And even if I rule the earth, as demigods rule heaven, I do it as a clueless fool who's drowning in depression. Each way I lose, I'm so confused, I need some help from you. Just take me as an empty slate and tell me what to do.
Dehi no sinyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuyati.
Such attitudes and platitudes are pouring from your head, but cooler people never mourn the living nor the dead. Each one of us has lived before a countless flow of lives, and each of us will live forever. Spirit never dies. The spirit permeates the flesh. It's permanent and whole, and no one can diminish or destroy the deathless soul. The inner soul continues while the outer body ends. So why are you uptight about this fight, my learned friend? To think you will be killed or will be killed are both mistakes, for souls cannot be killed and souls cannot assassinate. Not once have you, the soul, been killed throughout your history. You never came, you never left, you never come to be. The soul cannot be pulled apart or burned by any blaze. No water drowns the spirit, and no wind can make it fade. The soul cannot be burned or dried or broken or dissolved. The soul will never end or shrink or mutate or evolve. My friend, no man or weapon can annihilate the soul. Forget your foolish fears and let your needless weeping go. Our bodies morph from young to old to dead, and then you leave to take another body, as the mindful souls perceive. As people buy new clothes and throw away the old and worn, the soul replaces dead bodies with fresh ones newly born. In body after body, as a person, plant, or beast, you smile and frown, go up and down in pleasure or in grief. When you catch on, the thrill is gone, because all the pain you're in will make you hate to incarnate and end up born again. The striving transcendentalist can see the soul won't die, while worldly guys with downcast eyes see nothing, though they try.
Yad yada charati shrestas tata devetaro janaha sayat pranam purute lokasadanuvartate.
Now manning up for righteousness, a fighter's obligation, will land you more applause than to withdraw in hesitation. Since fighting opens wide the doors to heavenly delight, a fighter is excited when invited to a fight. But if you choose to flee, depravity will compensate you. Your name will be defamed and all your buddies will berate you. Your enemies will slap their knees and tease your freeze with scorn. A destiny to make you scream.
Why was I ever born?
If you are feeling moody and you let your duty slide, you'll briefly be less gloomy, but you won't be satisfied. Instead of just retracting, you can tackle useful tasks. If you're a dud, a sofa spud, your body will collapse. As duty led King Janaka, the saint, to his perfection, so you should do the same to give the common man direction. The common man will do whatever great men introduce. For great men set the standards that humanity pursues. Much better that you battle, even if things go to hell, than moralizing till you win the Peace Prize from Nobel.
Yagnartat karma no natya, lokoyam karma bandana. Karma Konteya Mukta Sangha Samacharam.
Now Krishna, as you urge me on to fight this ghastly war, you seem to contradict what you have mentioned just before. You said a saint has self-restraint and keeps his senses stashed. Now isn't that more skillful than to kill for land and cash?
I'll teach you how to fight with a detached mentality. When you dispatch attachment, you'll be permanently free. No matter if you win or lose, just fight for fighting's sake and take what comes without the blues. To work with, yet stay detached with peaceful senses, heart, and mind, sages know as karma yoga, that is more refined. Perform your work as sacrifice while living on this earth. To stop the slop of birth and death and birth and death and birth. Four types of people turn to me. Another four do not, including one who isn't giving living any thought. The second type is wicked, selfish, mean, and always pissed. The other two, smart ass and smug, think I do not exist. The righteous four include the person suffering distress, the person needing money who is hoping to be blessed, the person who is curious and puts me to the test, and someone who is simply wise. Of all, the wise are best. For after many births and deaths, the wise with perfect minds accept me as reality. But man, they're hard to find. Arjuna, you are no buffoon. Rejuvenate your head. Just flush the mush and feel the rush of serving God instead.
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvachah ahankara vimudatma kartaham isti manyate.
My dear Arjuna, let's commune. Tune into these directions that sages are enthused to use for cruising to perfection. So dead matter cleaves to qualities of goodness, dark, and passion. Three modes that each provoke the soul to act in different fashions. My faultless friend, the mode of goodness, dresses up as pure. The soul in goodness feels at peace, enlightened, and secure. The mode of passion crashes in when you crank up desire. It makes the soul feel full of holes and cravings to acquire. The mode of darkness makes the soul collapse into a heap of laziness and craziness and ignorance and sleep. When goodness wins, you're satisfied. When passion wins, you crave. And when the mode of darkness wins, you suffer like a slave. And happiness in goodness, manifesting from within, at first appears like poison, but is nectar in the end. That happiness in passion tastes like nectar at the start, delighting all the senses while it's poisoning the heart. But happiness in darkness is delusion all the way, from laziness to craziness to total disarray. No demon, dude, or demigod, no soul of any fashion, can overflow the ebb and flow of goodness, dark, and passion.
How does a searcher purge his life and leave the modes behind? What kind of mind could I design to make me so refined?
When your head's straight, you'll never hate to see the modes attack. And when the modes abandon you, you'll never want them back. The fool's amigo, phony ego, goads him to insist. He chose the load the modes impose that he could not resist. Devoted souls who work for the supreme find satisfaction and free themselves from jealousy and karma-packed reactions.
Yoginam api sarvesham madhyatenantaratmanam shradhavan bhajate yomam sameyukta tamo mataha.
Maintain your duty sanely. Never favor, win or lose, and turn your fight to yoga like the cooler people do. Like lotuses on water keep their leaves and flowers dry, in this polluted world a yogi's cool and purified. Their sense of standing back from mundane visions, sounds and smells, they're like a turtle tugging tender limbs inside its shell. You may suppress your senses, but desires still remain. But when you savor yoga, it is painless to refrain. Yet faithless dudes with attitudes forsake such aspirations, misusing all their time pursuing physical sensations. Arjuna, use your mind to rise. Do not degrade yourself. Befriend your mind, or you will find it turns your life to hell.
You must be kidding, Krishna. That is way too hard for me. For all I find inside my mind is bipolarity. My stupid mind is stubborn, strong, and always spewing spin. Instead of yoga, why don't we just wrestle with the wind?
Arjuna, be a fighter, man. It's hard to stop the mind, but be detached and practice, and you'll master it in time.
Suppose I take up yoga, but my ego wins the show. What fate awaits a yogi if he fails to make the pros? If I break vows, am I a cloud who roams the stratosphere? A homeless wreck on earth and heaven, loser of the year. Would I lose all my peace of mind, contentedness, and cash? Hey Krishna, only you can say, what happens if I crash?
Relax, Arjuna. Crash or not, one thing is understood. No evil can compete when you are reaching for the good. A messed up yogi goes to heaven, has a blast, and then returns for birth on earth in wealthy homes and tries again. And sometimes loser yogis take a birth after they fall as children of great yogis, so they never lose at all. And of all yogis, one who favors God within his mind, affectionately serving him in every place and time, though sometimes just as twisted or existing like a minion, is best among all yogis, in my own humble opinion.
Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninastat padarshinaha.
So train your mind with knowledge and your spirit will be pleased. True knowledge, unlike college, brings out saintly qualities. Simplicity and tolerance, a taste for being clean, stability and self-control, a mind always serene, awareness of and freedom from the evil side of life, a simple, peaceful residence with husband or with wife, humility, a lack of pride, attachment to nonviolence, acceptance of a guru to direct you in this science, acknowledging the value of a quest to find the truth. Pursue these forms of knowledge and you'll soon be shatterproof.
How can I pick out gurus by the way they think and talk? Are they at peace just sitting? Do they always walk the walk?
A guru's happy, learned, wise, and always self-controlled. A guru sees equality in pebbles, stones, and gold. Because the wise can recognize the soul, their eyes are equal to cows and dogs and elephants and great or simple people. And gurus in a higher place embrace authentically a total stranger, cherished friend, or stalwart enemy. A seasoned transcendentalist can see the soul within and easily skims off the senses self-indulgent whims. When you find out your guru and gain equal eyes on earth, you'll thrive, be purified, and rise above death and rebirth. You'll celebrate escaping from the dictates of the senses, awaken to the absolute as boundless bliss commences. Take knowledge from a guru you can understand and serve, a realized soul to teach you what he studied and observed.
Yadya vibhuti mat sattvam Srimad urjitam evava Tata eva bhagaccha tvam Mama tejo sa sambhavam.
Both you and I, Arjuna, have completed many lives. Your memory has wilted while my memory survives. As architect of everything, my body is unborn, and many times I've come in my transcendent primal form. Whenever rationality comes crashing to an end, and cycle souls assume control, at that time I descend, defeating every sicko and defending every sage. I reestablish sanity in each and every age. You see, there's no reality except for me, my friend. The whole shebang just hangs on me as pearls hang on a thread. I spread myself through everything, though I remain unseen. I have a life that's all my own, yet all life lives in me. I live and give in every person, animal, and plant. But overall, I'm subtle. Try to see me, and you can't. Officiating in your heart, I educate you all by letting you forget sometimes or helping you recall. The ancient Vedic writings are compiled by me alone. I authored all the Vedas, and by them I can be known.
You understand yourself, my lord, but I don't have a clue. Please tell me with your sweet, sweet words how I can muse on you.
The Himalayan mountains are of solid things like me. I am the endless ocean, and of plants the banyan tree. Of rivers I'm the Ganga, flowing strong and sanctified. I am the wind, the best among all things that purify. Though I am death, the end of all, I sire all to be. Of women I am patience, glory, speech, and memory. Of hymns I am the Gayatri. Of seasons I am spring. Of months I am November, time of peace and harvesting. O Om resounds among all sounds, the sacrificial call of my uncounted holy names enchants me most of all. Remember, every glorious and opulent creation has sprung but from a spark of my resplendent situation. So why go on, Arjuna, with a more exhaustive list? A tiny, shiny part of me pervades all that exists.
Bhakya Tvananyaya Shakya Aham Eva Vidorjunaha Jatum Jastum Chatatvena Pravishtum Chaparantapa.
Although I love your pleasing form, ideal for meditation, could I explore your cosmic form that swarms the whole creation? Can I withstand its grandeur? Will my senses still perform? If so, then please reveal to me your universal form.
Hey Arjuna, buckle up, my friend, and see my mystic skill as countless godly forms appear with colors set to thrill. These lines of shining demigods combine to show you more vibrations and a vision and a mood unviewed before. Whatever you may want to witness, any time or space, is showcased for you face to face at once and in one place.
At once Arjuna noticed faces, mouths, and eyes with weapons, gems, and vibrant clothes of monumental size. In Krishna's cosmic body, he could see the gods dispersed on countless stars and planets strewn across the universe. 100,000 blazing suns arising in the east could never beat the light and heat this cosmic form released. The overwhelming Arjuna felt his hand staring up on end. His mood now swayed and bowed and prayed before his mystic friend.
So many bellies, arms, and eyes I cannot comprehend. For Krishna, nowhere does it start and nowhere does it end. With dazzling discs and cosmic clubs and crowns surrounding me, I cannot bear the blazing glare that's everywhere I see. No secret can escape your blazing eyes, the moon and sun. Now flames are shooting from your mouth, consuming everyone. O Lord of Lords, who holds the world, be merciful to me. A tiny man who cannot stand to see your deadly teeth. Your mouth sucks all these soldiers through its giant, fearsome lips. To jaws that gnaw their veins and brains to bloody, broken bits. Like rivers rush into the sea, or moths fly into fire. Humanity flees to your mouth, the universal pyre. You cremate all creation with your blazing, scorching rays, and swallow all survivors who attempt to run away. I beg to know your purpose, and I bow down in accord. Please tell me who you are, so fierce of form, O Lord of Lords.
Time I am, the death of all. You're now in my domain. You and your brothers will survive. All others will be slain. So rise and fight. Reclaim your rights, your destiny to rule. Your foes already decomposed. So why not be my tool?
Lord, you should be glorified by everyone who lives. But I have made offenses. I implore you to forgive. How foolishly I chill with you in friendly conversation, while thinking we were equals, kicking back in relaxation. As cordial people overlook a disrespectful friend, as lovers often disregard remarks that might offend, as patient parents put up with a crude, conceited son, forgive me for these thoughtless things I've ignorantly done.
You asked me, and I showed to you my giant cosmic form, an awesome sight of light and death that no one's seen before. And now you find your mind is blown, you're groaning and disturbed. Relax and see, it's me again, the way that you prefer. If you stood on your head all day or gave your gold away, you still would never see me as you see me here today. My devotees who constantly connect by serving me can see me as I am, my friend, and know my mystery.
Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kanstikasya cha.
Adverse as to God is personal, some make Brahman their aim. Are you that omnipresentness that has no form or name?
A flock of fools insists that I have come from the Brahman. Though I am ever perfect, they would rather see me gone. They never look behind the curtain, hiding me from view, and thus they miss my endless form of awesome magnitude. To meditate on nothingness is trouble guaranteed, and though a perseverant person sometimes may succeed, if you will be my devotee and serve me with each breath, I'll personally pull you from the surf of birth and death. By serving me devotedly in every situation, you're on the road to unload all the modes' contamination. While on this path, you'll simply laugh at good or bad reactions, for I supply the basis of an endless satisfaction.
Trividam narakasyedam doram nashanam atmanah kama krodha tatha lobhas tasmadeta trayam chajet.
Divinity and decency define my friend for you. Now hear about the fiendish and their atheistic views. The fiend is fond of greedy, stupid, brutal attitudes like arrogance, beyond conceit and self-indulgent moods. He says this world is bogus and there's no God in control. He thinks that life is meant for sex, for lust consumes his soul. Traversing down this trail of thought, discrimination lost, constructing senseless weapons, disregarding what they cost. The villain vainly struts about in condescending pride, compelled to crush the world by lust that's never satisfied. Although his whole philosophy is meant to bring him pleasure, he ends up in anxiety that even he can't measure. So then the fiend will think,
I'm sinking rich with gold galore. My enemies are all deceased. I'll chase and waste some more. I am the king, so everything is meant for my delight. And anything I choose to do is absolutely right. My wealthy friends and relatives approach me on their knees. For none, you see, can ever be as powerful as me. Now watch me give some charity and feed the wretched poor.
Like that, he thinks and drinks and sinks in madness more and more. Nonplussed by tough anxiety and lust he cannot quell. The fiendish flush all piety and bust a path to hell. These rotten, rude, resentful rascals, lowermost of men, are born as animals, or worse, again and yet again. The gates lead to this hellish life, unkindness, lust, and rage. The sane with brains to jump this train wreck gain the highest stage.
Mahatmanas tu mamam partha, divin prakriti mashritaha, ajantyananya manaso, yadva bhutadim avyayam.
Now I'll describe my devotees. They're always karma-free, consuming food first fondly offered feelingly to me. A dude devouring food for sensual delight, neglecting its creator, swallows karma with each bite. So serving me with every design and deed, the wise find shelter in my service from their aging and demise. They sing my name, bow down to me, and work with total grit, adoring me quite blissfully, a perfect loving fit. These devotees all aim to please and act with all false pride. In laughter or disaster, they are always satisfied. My devotees see no one needs to feel anxiety. They tolerate and don't berate, and they are dear to me. They're never fazed by praise or hazing, freezing cold or heat. They're fair to friends and foe, forever very dear to me.
Manmana bhava madbhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mame vaishyasiyukvaivam, atmana madparayanaham.
How do you know my sacrifice? You live within, but where? And how can I remember you when death walks up my stairs?
My pure devotees think of me and serve me all the time. Discussing me incessantly, their lives become sublime. Because they serve me with such love and do so constantly, I give them all the news and views they use to come to me. To show how much I love them too, from deep inside their hearts, I shine the lamp of knowledge and unclamp them from the dark. Such perfect people ponder me in pure exhilaration. If that's too much, try out a touch of bhakti regulations. For bhakti yoga teaches you to serve me with affection. If that's too quirky, work for me and slowly reach perfection. If doing that falls flat and you feel scatterbrained with fret, then serve the homeless, sick and poor, ignoring what you get. For working without wages, like the sages, you will find more pleasing than a PhD and easy on your mind. A cup of water makes me smile, though I could drink an ocean. A flower, fruit, or leaf are fine when offered in devotion. The things you do, the gifts you give, and every tasty dish, just give them first to me with love and feel your soul enriched. Now, I do not play favorites. People get what they desire. So if somebody longs for me, I'm naturally inspired. If you mess up a time or two, I won't make a complaint. Just get up and continue, and you'll soon become a saint. You'll quickly gain the righteousness and peace that people prize. Arjuna, tell the world The Krishna servant never dies. A man or woman, king or slave are equal in my eye. So anyone who comes to me will never be denied. Become my servant. Think of me. Bow down and you will see. By making me your everything, success is guaranteed.
Sarva dharmam parityaja, mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papevyo, moksha ishyami matuchaha.
Ecstatic in transcendent bliss, released from tears and urges, with friendly mood to every dude, at last you'll gain my service. Remember me, and I'll blow every barrier away. Forget me, and your ego gets completely in the way. Because you're my best friend forever, hear these final words, a message still more personal than all as yet you've heard. Abandon all religion and release yourself to me. I'll cleanse your sins and make amends. Have no anxiety. My friend, I now have told you all the confidential news. Consider what I've said and do whatever you may choose.
Dear Krishna, I remember now what I am fighting for. I've heard your perfect words and rest assured I'll win this war.
My master, as I spoke the words of Krishna and his friend, the hairs that spun on my body are standing on their ends. Wherever there is Krishna, the supremely mystic soul, wherever there's Arjuna, the master of the bow, amazing strengths and wealth appear, and there in a great profusion, all good come out on top. Oh master, that is my conclusion.
Tatra yogeshwara krishno, yatra parto danur daraha, tatra shirvijayo buddhir, dhruvanitir matir mama.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I was not sure whether we should have done this or not. They say east is east and west is west and never the two shall meet. What do you think? Are there any questions or reflections on this? Would anyone like to share some thoughts? Was anything not clear? Were you wondering about any of the verses? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu. What did you like about it, Prabhu?
Everything is wonderful.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, we did the whole Gita, right? It's amazing how Krishna could speak it all in half an hour, 40 minutes, Prabhupada said. You know, because if you try to read the Sanskrit, it takes about 2 hours for us. They must be at a very high level. So intelligent, they're speaking so fast. So this is, yes, just a third of the Gita. You enjoyed the sequence. Yes, usually the Gita is so short that it's usually not done as a sandarbha. Sandarbha means weaving. You take verses from different parts of a long scripture and put them by topic. But the Gita is so short that the acharyas don't do that. It's too. But for presenting, introducing people who are new, we thought to do it in a topical way is better like that. Could you follow the verses? Those are scholars of the Gita from different sections. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Other thoughts, other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
The sequence of slokas along with the thoughts are really amazing. Now, it you know, probably a person who is reading Gita and going through this presentation, though people like us are not so conversant with the speediness of the presentation, but still, the way it is presented in a very sequential way, it gives a really, a very simplistic way of understanding the whole Gita. And that gives a kind of enthusiasm within the heart of us to, you know, read Gita more and more and understand the real truth about it.
Well, this,
thank you so much.
Yes, this is a really good point. We are very blessed, you know, of the three great scriptures of the world, the Bible, the Quran, and Gita. The Gita is only 10% the length of the Quran, and only 2% the length of the Bible, the 700 verses. Of course, with the commentaries of the Acharyas, it goes much deeper. But the content itself, if we understand the meaning, you know, it's so concise. And this is why, like Gandhi said, for example, that whenever he felt distressed, he would open the Gita and find some silver lining on the cloud before him. So we can always just take shelter of a few short verses and feel inspired. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Any other thoughts, questions, comments, reflections? Yes? A lot of hard work into it. Yes, it took me about 1,000 hours over 3 years to do the poetry. It's my hobby, you know, 45 minutes a day. Some people just have strange brains that like to rhyme things, you know. So thank you. It was very pleasurable. And this is another lesson from the Gita that's relevant to each of us, that each one of us has a special service for Krishna that pleases Krishna in a unique way. Unique. One and only. You know, in a human body, this is actually a mind-blowing thing to consider. There are 100 trillion cells in one human body. And each one of those cells demonstrates all the 6 symptoms of the presence of the soul. And 90 trillion of them are not even human cells. They're other living entities. So in one body, there's 100 trillion. And how many humans are there? And how many other bodies and different species? So many countless living entities on this one planet. And there's life everywhere in the universe. And each and every one of them has a unique way of pleasing Krishna. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's a very God-like thing to do, isn't it? If you were God, you think you might like create countless other living entities to bring you pleasure in unique ways? what an amazing thing Krishna does. So self-realization means to find out that unique way we have to please Krishna. Each and every one of us has something that no one else has to offer to Krishna. And the beautiful thing of self-realization is just realizing what that is. So serving Krishna is not something that's difficult or that's tense or that's artificial. It's something natural. We just have to find out what is that thing that we want to offer to Krishna. And this is one of the beautiful lessons of the Gita also. So Arjuna was fighting for someone who might be raising a family for Krishna or painting a picture for Krishna like that, worshiping the deity, dressing the deity very nicely. What is it that inspires you and that you love to do? This is the beautiful message of the Gita. Any other last comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Some of us here in the ashram are trying to memorize the Gita verses. After seeing this, I am now inspired to memorize the English.
Tell you what, you're a young man, you could do it. If you could rap this from memory and just repeat the whole thing, you would make an impression just for that. So, I hope you will do that. Yes, Prabhu. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. This is the entire Gita in rap from which this was drawn. It's called the Rap of God. I hope you get that. Have you ever heard this English phrase, the wrath of God? This was the God I was brought up believing in, to fear. Fear God or else. You better obey or else you'll get the wrath of God, the anger. But I learned from Srila Prabhupada and learned from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is not a wrathful personality. He's not angry at us if we're in Maya. He's just very loving and waiting for us to turn to him and become happy again. And so the rap means he's a cool guy. He's not upset. He's just waiting, very patient. So we This book is just published in America, and I brought about 50 copies. If anyone would like, we're going to have a table set up outside, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for you. Unfortunately, they're a little expensive to print, about, so we can offer them for 300 rupees to get our printing costs back, or any donation you might like to give. If you don't have that and you'd like to have one, just let me know. We'll be certainly happy to have it, give one to you. All right. I also have been very blessed in my life to be a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, so I've written a book of my memories of Srila Prabhupada and some Vyas Puja offerings inspired by him. I also have a few copies of that if you would like. And I'd just like to conclude by saying this really is my favorite temple anywhere. I'm so happy to get the opportunity to be with you today. Thank you very much for serving His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. Shri Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Arivo.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to Kalkan Prabhu, Madhumangal Prabhu and Morgan Prabhu. Let us once again very enthusiastically thank them by loudly chanting three times. Haribo!
Haribo!
It was so amazing that a Bhagavad Gita can be sung in a rap fashion. And that too in Mradang and Kartal. So rap has been our guitar and all those western. So wonderful that we were thinking that when the conclusion came and we came to know that it's about to end, then I was thinking, oh my God. So we are very thankful to Prabhuji came here and presented us. This might be the essence of his